I'd like to welcome everyone tonight to the gospel meeting. There's a lot of people here. Perhaps you've never been in a gospel meeting before, and it's a wonderful privilege to be able to present the gospel of the grace of God. Maybe you've been in many gospels before, and we can't look into the heart. But God knows exactly what's in your heart. He knows whether you've turned to Him or not. And we trust that our little time this evening would be for profit for the soul of every one of us here. So I wonder if we could open our meeting this evening by singing hymn number 11 on our little hymn sheet. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. I wonder if we could stand and sing hymn number 11. Oh, will your anchor hold in the storm?
Oh,
like to sing one more hymn, number 3. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you could remain seated and sing hymn number 3. My hope on
nothing less is there.
Just before we ask the Lord for his help, I'd like to ask you a question this evening. On what do you rest your soul's salvation? I'd like to ask that question tonight as we start this gospel meeting. We've just sung these two hymns together, and I can stand here a happy man. One that has peace with God, because my soul salvation rests on a solid rock. I'm so thankful for the shed blood of my blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus, who has given me to realize that my sins are gone, and I can stand here with joy tonight, with a message to proclaim tonight, a message of joy, the gospel message. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to present the gospel of the grace of God. But on the other hand, tonight, the responsibility of being the messenger of God tonight, the responsibility of being put in a position where tonight I have the responsibility of being the mouthpiece of Almighty God, the responsibility of that is staggering tonight. And tonight, as we take up this precious book, we trust that everyone here in this room would believe that which we have to proclaim tonight. As I stand here tonight and look on this audience, it matters not how much faith you have, but what matters is, what is your faith attached to at the other end? Could we ask the Lord for his help? Turn with me, please, to Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter. Mark's Gospel, the 11th chapter, and we'll read the first few verses. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he shall send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. Tonight, as we read this scripture, and as I look over this audience, I can't help but feel that there is someone here tonight, and you're in a place where two ways meet. You're in a place in your soul where two ways meet. And perhaps tonight, you don't know which way to go. Well, we trust tonight as we open the Word of God that if you're in that place where two ways meet, perhaps you've never heard the gospel before. Perhaps you've heard of God. But you're not just too sure as to who He is, as to what He's done. Perhaps you've sat in these meetings all day today. Perhaps you've sat in them many, many times. And you too are in a place where two ways meet. You know the way, but you're not sure which way you want to go. Oh, tonight, the work of a soul is the work of God. And I have confidence tonight that God is speaking to your soul, that you would be saved tonight. The matter of your sins before a holy God. I'm so thankful that the matter of my sins was dealt with at Calvary. And for you too, if you would simply believe. Oh, we trust tonight that if you're in that place where two ways meet, there is a voice that's saying to you, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's another one that's saying, whispering to you, Don't bother. Don't listen to the message tonight. Oh, we trust that you will listen to what we have to say tonight from the Word of God, and that you would turn to the Lord Jesus tonight and you would be saved. Turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Proverbs, the 14th chapter and verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Then turn over to the 16th chapter. And we read this in verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to take up the little subject this evening of a phrase we find in the Word of God. It's called the right way. The right way, and there are seven of them. Every one of us here makes decisions. We make decisions in our every day of our lives. Get up this morning, you decide what you're going to put on. Some decisions, the consequences aren't as great as others. But we've just been reading two scriptures in the book of Proverbs, that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. We had something happen in our property this spring. It's interesting, we live in a wooded area, and there's lots of birds that make nests. And we had a robin that was very wise. It chose a place to build its nest where it couldn't be seen. It was a secluded place. It could not be seen. And so if you were to look down from it, it couldn't be seen. If you were to look at it from the side, it couldn't be seen. Anywhere you looked, you could not see the place where this robin was building its nest. And, you know, when you think of that, we've got a lot of predators on our property as well. And we have hawks, we have owls, we have crows, we have a lot of four-footed predators. And, you know, in this bird's little brain, it thought it had chosen a place that was just perfect to build its nest because it couldn't be seen anywhere. The place that bird had chosen to build its nest was on the top of the tire of our van. You couldn't see it from anywhere. It's in the wheel well. Not a very good place to build a nest, even though it seemed like such a good place. Well, you know, our van goes in and out of the driveway several times a day. This bird sought to build its nest several times a day. Couldn't stop it. In its mind, this was the way, this was the place to build its nest. Drive out of the driveway, come back. We saw the completion of the nest a number of times. It was persistent. This was the place to build a nest. You know, it's interesting. It doesn't say in the scripture that we've been reading, there is a way that seemeth right unto a robin. But it says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And we would like to look at that little expression, the right way, tonight, and trust that you would choose the right way as to the salvation of your soul. You know, we sang tonight, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is that true about you tonight? As you sit there in your chair at a place where two ways meet, is that true of you? Let's turn to the first one in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 9. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but transgressors shall fall therein. Where do we find the ways of the Lord? Because we find here in this portion that the ways of the Lord are right ways. They're right ways. I had the opportunity this week to work in a building. It was an apartment building. And James House and I were working there. My son Ron was working there. Actually, Tammy House was working there too. There was a number of us working in this apartment building. And part of my responsibility was to get into every apartment. There was 29 of them where we had some work to do. And there's one apartment where there's a lady that I'd spoke to her previously about her soul, actually a number of times. The time came when we were in her apartment, and I don't preach at her all the time. We visit now and again when I'm there. But I asked her earlier this week. I called her by name, and I said, are you ready to go when your time comes? And she flippantly, she says, yeah, I've been ready forever. I'm ready to go. And that's not a problem. I said, so on what do you base that? Well, I base it on the fact that I've been a good girl all my life. She's an older lady. Been a good girl all my life. And you know, it just doesn't pay not to be a good girl. I've been a good girl all my life. And she changed the conversation, went out the door. You know, the ways of the Lord are right, and they're found in the Word of God. You know, later that day, she came into her apartment when we were working there. And she said, you know, she has a corner apartment which overlooks a lot of Smith Falls. She has a good friend that lives just a short piece away. And she had told me earlier that her good friend had just had an operation. And she came upstairs and she was very worried because she had just seen the ambulance turn up at that apartment, or at that house, and drive away. And she knew the person lived there alone, and she didn't know what the situation was. And she was very worried. And, you know, her whole demeanor had changed. And didn't say anything. We visited, and then later that day she comes up and she says, you know, I found out that she's in the hospital, and this operation that she'd had, she got some blood poisoning. It's gone right through her body. She's in intensive care, and she's hovering between life and death. And you know what? The flippancy as to what she based her salvation on was all gone. She says, you know, you just never know. You just never know as to where you're going to be. And I thought, you know, what a marvelous thing tonight that we can read in this portion of the Word of God that the ways of the Lord are right ways, and they're found in the Word of God. And I would like to ask you tonight, on what do you base your soul salvation? On what do you base it on? As I mentioned earlier, no, we had in the last meeting, our brother talked to us about faith. And I mentioned it doesn't matter how much faith we have, but what is that faith attached to at the other end? You know what we sang? On Christ the solid rock I stand. I'm thankful to stand here, a happy, joyful believer, knowing that when I step over that line, or if the Lord Jesus comes, I'm going to be with him to see his blessed face. What about you tonight? You know, if your soul is not saved, if you don't know God as your Father, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, tonight we plead with you that you would come to the Savior. Let's turn over to the Psalms. Psalm 107. We find another mention there of the right way. Psalm 107. And it starts off, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the hands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Here's our subject. "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." He led them forth by the right way. As I was thinking of this portion, you know, it says in the sixth verse, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." I had something happen a couple weeks ago. It was actually 2 weeks ago today. That I was working with my boys and James. We were doing a roof. And James and Ron were working on one side of the roof, and I was working with Craig on this side of the roof. And while we're working, all of a sudden, down the street, we hear this crying for help. And it was a man screaming. He was screaming for help. Well, it was a number of houses down the road, and I broke into a run. I ran down the street as to where this noise was coming from. And here, there was a man. He was working under his car. He had his car jacked up, and it was on a bit of an incline, and the car rolled off the jacks, and it pinned his hand in between one of the blocks and the frame of the car. Here's his hand, and it's just squashed, and he's screaming for help. He's screaming for help. You know, arrived at the scene, and his wife was there, and his wife didn't know what to do, and there was a jack there, and she didn't know how to use it. And I'm not a paramedic, but to seek to jack up this car when there's a man right beside you that's just screaming in pain, it was a little interesting for me. We got the car jacked up, and His fingers looked like toonies. They were just fat. But I was just impressed that this man was in need of help, and he expressed it. You know, I'm thankful for the time in my life where I came to realize there was a need as to my soul salvation. And I cried to the Lord for help. Remember Peter, when he stepped out in the water, and he took those steps with such confidence, and then he started to sink. You know, Peter said, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." You know, I prayed that prayer, and the Lord saved me. I know that there's many here in this room who have prayed that prayer, and the Lord has saved them. But what about you tonight? Do you realize your need? You know, this man, he realized he needed help, and he needed it badly, and he needed it now. You know, and I didn't give the gospel to him. I'm sure if I was John Kemp that the man would have had the gospel while he was screaming. That's not my way. The man, he needed help, and I was able to give him some help, and we got his hand free. You know, I'll tell the rest of the story a little bit later. But I was impressed here. It says, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way. There's no way that we can assure you that you'll go the right way without crying to the Lord for help as to your soul salvation. You know, every one of us has sinned. The Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're accountable to God for that which has transpired in your life? That someday you're going to stand before a holy God and you're going to give an account as to that which you've done? Just go through that thought process of standing before a holy God and having to give account for everything that you've done, everything that you've thought, everything that you've said. Wouldn't you like to clear that matter up now? If we cry to the Lord now and ask him to save our souls, he'll do that very thing. We find here in this chapter there were those that cried to the Lord. He heard them, and they were spared, and he led them forth by the right way. Let's turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, it speaks here about the unjust. It speaks about the godly and the unjust. The Lord, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. It speaks of those that have no appreciation for authority. And we find that it's the same in connection with God. In verse 15 it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. You know, Balaam was a man who lived for the present, without a care for God, lived for the present, even though we recognize he delivered God's message. But it speaks here in this passage of those that have no appreciation for authority. You know, the one with whom we speak, of whom we speak tonight, every one of us is going to have to do. You know, we read in the book of Exodus concerning Pharaoh, and he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" You know, to speak of God in such a way, it makes me shudder. But what are your thoughts tonight in connection of God? What are your thoughts as to God? You know, I had something happen a little while ago. I hammer some nails for a living, and in the course of my work, I needed to buy a tool. And I went to Ottawa to Lee Valley Tools. And maybe there's some here today who have purchase tools from Lee Valley. It's a firm that has a number of outlets in Ontario. Maybe there's some here in Quebec, I don't know. Anyway, I left this morning early and got there for 7 o'clock when they opened. And what I needed was a router bit. And I went to the door and found that they open at 8 o'clock. Here I am. It's actually before 7. It's 10 to 7. I'm there in my car. Had a few other things to do in the city before I went back, and I needed this router bit. Well, I've got to wait for an hour. After a few minutes, a car pulls up, and a gentleman comes over to the side of the car and says, "May I help you?" I said, "Well, I came to pick up a router bit, and I see you're open at 8, not 7. He said, "Come on in, and I'll try to help you." So I followed the man in, and he asked me what I wanted, and I pointed out in the catalog what I wanted, and he thought he may be able to find it, so he went into the back, and he came back out with a piece, and he said, "I'll try to. I don't work with these machines, but I'll see if I can get the cache opened up." And he spent some time, and anyway, we made a transaction, and I was thankful for his trouble, and I reached into my pocket and I handed him a 20. I said, "Thanks for your trouble. Why don't you just take this?" And he kind of looked at me and he said, "I think you can keep the 20. I own Lee Valley Tools." And it was an embarrassment for me to be spending time with this man, thinking he was the clerk and trying to help him as to his job, and then to realize just in the presence of whom I was standing, it was very humbling. But there may be you tonight sitting there in your chair, and we speak about God, and you hear God being spoken of, but just as to who he is, that connection hasn't been made. My attitude changed immediately as to this gentleman that has been helping me. And I'm standing there looking at this 20. It was embarrassing for me. And I'll tell another little story. Danny Weeks remembers this too, that we were on a boat trip together. We took a trip from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas. There were 7 of us. It was before we were married. And we were on a boat that had 2 Chrysler 6s, and we were running by power, and we ran out of gas. And the time that we ran out of gas was when we were headed into Nassau. And so we were under sail, and we arrived in Nassau on a Saturday evening. And I'm not sure the evening. It wasn't a Saturday evening. We arrived in the evening anyway, just as the marina shut down. And we needed gas. There was a couple of people on the boat that... we were actually towards the end of our trip. We were headed back for Florida, and we needed to. A couple of the fellows needed to get flights, and we needed gas. And we didn't need it tomorrow. We needed it today. And there was someone that thought they could help us, and so he went and got somebody. After about 45 minutes, there was a gentleman came, and he chatted with us, and he pumped us up with gas, and one of the fellows that was with us when it was all done, he also handed the man a 20, and the man was dressed casually, and he thought that we could keep the 22 because he informed us that he owned the marina. And again, our attitude changed completely as to who we were talking with all this time, and all of a sudden realizing who he was. Well, there are those in this chapter that speak evil of dignities. There are those that have no use for authority. And to go through your life and to treat the one who puts the very breath in your nostrils, holds our heartbeat in his hand, to think of who that one is and to realize that tonight he is speaking to your heart. My dad told me before he passed away, "David, we need to read the Word of God with our ears, not just with our eyes." And tonight I trust that you can do that. That as we read these verses and we hear the Word of God being spoken of, that you would hear the voice of the Lord and as to just who he is and that we have to do with that one. Let's turn now to another portion in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13. Here we find Barnabas and Saul. And it says in the 4th verse, "So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert, here's our subject now, the right ways of the Lord. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. We find here the story of two people. We find Sergius Paulus. We find Elymas the sorcerer. You know, it's interesting. I've never been to Cyprus, but there's a museum there. And in it, there is currency with the inscription of Sergius Paulus on it, his image. And it's wonderful to be able to pick up the word of God and to way back then realize that there was such a man and that we can see currency with him on it today. And here was a man, it says that in the 12th verse, it says, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The right ways of the Lord. There was a man here who was seeking to pervert the right ways of the Lord. I was speaking to a man some time ago. It was right after the Twin Towers came down. And I'm mentioning this because, you'll see why. Right after the Twin Towers came down, it was a gentleman that was a very wise man. And I had never spoken to him about his soul. He was the president of one of the associations in Perth. And I asked him, I said, you know, called him by name, and I said, if you happened to have been on one of those planes that crashed into the towers, I said, where would you be? And he looked at me and he said, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know. And it gave me an opportunity to give him the gospel, which I did. And at the end of it, he listened very politely. He said to me, you know, David, I can appreciate that you, the faith that you have in what you're telling me, but I'm going to rest on the things that I've done in this life. I'm going to rest on the things that I've done in this life. You know, time went on, and less than a year ago, a man came to me, a believer, and he is saying that he was speaking to this man, and he sought to give him the gospel, and he brought to this man the conversation that I had with him years ago in asking if he happened to be sitting on one of those planes that crashed into the tower where he would be. He goes through this whole conversation with this believer, and you know, the believer told me, and he said, you know, you need to drop in and see this man again. And I said, yeah, I need to do that. And just a short while ago, I visited him again, and I said, you know, I need to drop in on this man. And he said, you know, it's too late now. He's gone. He just died 2 weeks ago. You know, here was a man who was seeking, and I don't know where he is, because I don't know what happened at the end. But at the time that I was visiting with him, he was resting on what he was doing. You know, I'm thankful here that we find there was a man that was seeking to turn the gospel away from this Sergius Paulus. But you know, he listened to the right way, didn't he? And we find that here because we find concerning Sergius Paulus, it says he believed. Oh, we trust that tonight that you would believe. Well, let's turn now to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra and chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. A right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. I had occasion in this apartment building that I was working in this week to speak with a man, and he's a man I've never been able to present the gospel to. He always has a joke. He always turns whatever you say into something frivolous. And you know, he came in to his apartment when I was working there, and he was very sober. I'd never seen this about him before. He said, "You know, there's a lady across the hall, and they found her son dead in his truck last night." And it really shook him up. And I mentioned this man because his name was Porteous, and the only other Porteous I ever knew was here in Montreal, a lady by the name of Sophie Porteous and her husband Hector. And I've never known any other Porteous. Well, you know, I had occasion to speak with the lady herself, and just to, it was after work hours, I went to her apartment, and I just said I was sorry to hear about her son. She said, "You know, it's been a horrible thing, because out of all my family, I never knew. I would never have guessed it would have been my son that died. He was the picture of health. He was a runner. He was one that was very active. He was one that exercised all the time. He was one that was very careful with his diet concerning fatty foods and whatnot. He was very careful, and he dropped dead of a heart attack." You know, and this woman, she doesn't know where she's going, and she didn't know where he was going. Well, when I was talking to this other man in his apartment, I said, "It's good to know where we're going to go, isn't it?" He said, "You know, it is. And I don't know where I'm going." He said, "How do you know?" You know, this woman, she was distraught because she didn't know the way for herself, and she didn't know the way for her little ones. And maybe there's someone here tonight, and you can't present the way to your little ones. You can't present the way to your children. You can't present the way to your relatives, because you don't know the way yourself. Well, here we find Ezra. What a marvelous thing it says here. "I proclaim the fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves. Oh, we trust that that would be the portion of someone who is lost tonight, that you would be found afflicting yourself before our God, to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance." Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 24. You know, we're running out of time, so let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you." I mentioned 2 weeks ago today that I was doing some roofing, and I heard this man screaming down the road. In the last 2 weeks, I've been thinking about that man. And as I said, if I'd have been John, he would have had the gospel on the spot. I tend to need to think about things a little bit. And the Lord laid it on my heart to drop in and see him, which I did the day before yesterday. It's interesting the way the Lord works. I rapped on the door. It's 2 weeks later. His wife comes to the door, recognizes me, invites me in. I start visiting with the man. His fingers are not flat anymore. They're like big, thick sausages. And I asked him how his fingers were doing. And he said, "Well, you know, he's got movement in them, and he's thankful. And, you know, he thanked me again so much for helping him. And if there was anything that he could do for me at any time, he'd be so happy. He didn't get my name when... when I helped him, and he was so glad that I dropped by to visit with him again. And I said, Paul, I'd like to ask you a question. He said, oh, what's that? I said, you know, I've heard of people that, a number of people who have been working under cars, and they slip off the blocks, and they've been caught under the car, and it's killed them. I said, you know, that may have happened to you, but it didn't. I said, if it had have happened to you, where would you be right now? You know, he was visiting with me with a big, happy, smiling face and looking me in the eye, and all of a sudden that all ended. And he looked down. And, you know, it's interesting the way the Lord works. I'll interject this. A number of years ago, I sat in the doctor's office and was told that I had a malignancy. And that was quite a long time ago. The Lord has given us some more time. I've been very thankful. And anyway, I asked this man this question as to where he'd be if he'd have been under that car when the car came down, and he answered this way. He said, well, I went to the doctor a few weeks ago, and, well, I'll make a long story short, yesterday I got the results back from a CAT scan, and I've got a spot on my lung. This is an intelligent man. I asked him where he'd be if he'd left this scene, and this is the way he answers me. So I gave him the floor. I didn't say anything. I just left it. And he took a deep breath, and he said, you know, it's interesting, the Lord's timing, isn't it? He took a deep breath, and he said, I'm a nuclear scientist. I've worked up in Chalk River for a number of years. And he said, some of my job was to do calculations, and some of the calculations I did, they were not pages thick, they were books thick. And he said, I'm smart enough to realize that there's enough order in the universe. Everything runs so perfectly in order to realize that it just didn't happen. It just didn't happen. But as to where I'm going, I don't know. I've had lots of people tell me different things. I don't know where I'm going. You know, it's interesting, the timing, that I arrive there to ask him this question the day after he gets this message from the doctor that it's the results of his CAT scan. And he doesn't know the way. If it had been 2 days earlier, he wouldn't have had the results. You know, I gave him a little bit of my history, and being on the same side of the fence, people are very obliging to discuss these matters under those circumstances. And I thought, you know, the last thing I said to the man when I left here, because he has not peace, he has a clear gospel, and he's reaching out for something that's real. You know, we sang earlier, as to our soul salvation and having a solid rock, a solid anchor to stand on. This man doesn't have it, but he's reaching for it. And he's at a point in his life where he realized he needs it. You know, 2 weeks before, he realized he needed help because it was his hand. But now his need is much greater. But what about you tonight? What about you tonight as you sit there in your seat? Do you realize that you have a need? Do you realize that your need is a desperate need? Like everyone here in this room. But many of us had realized that need, and we've turned to the Lord Jesus. Do you realize your need tonight? You know, if I could step down, if I knew where you sat, and I could step off of this platform and go to your chair and take you by the lapels and make you believe, I would. But I can't do that. That's not something that I can do. It's God Himself tonight that is speaking to your soul. As to the salvation of your soul and the decision as to you standing at a place where two ways meet, it's going to be made tonight by you as to which way you take. Are you going to take the way that seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof, which are the ways of death? Or are you going to choose the right way tonight? The way of life, the way of receiving God's offer of salvation in the person of his beloved Son. You know, we have up on the wall here this sign. I've been sitting over there in my seat and facing this direction. They saw no man save Jesus only. What a marvelous thing to be able to stand here tonight. And my soul's salvation rests on that blessed one, the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, when I left his house, it was a burden to me. Because we find in Corinthians there are many voices in this world, and it says none of them are without signification. Which voice are you listening to? Which road are you going to take tonight? As you stand there at a place where two ways meet, oh, tonight we trust that you will turn to the Lord Jesus and you would be saved. Could we sing another hymn in closing? Number 9, verse 3 says, yes, Jesus is the truth, the way. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Number 9.
Come every soul. Draw.
pray.